You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Springer here, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Do that, yeah. But I can't do any of those backups now. They don't exist because I don't have the app anymore. Ecamm doesn't work with that.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it pisses me off. There goes my investment for Ecamm. I'm like, okay, well, Microsoft, fuck you. Fuck you.
Welcome to All Things Transformers.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, the first thing out of the moment, I'm already dropping F-bombs. I'm already on grumpy pants here, right?
Okay. We sympathize. There are plenty of things that companies have done in the last few years. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you mess up something anyway?
Yeah.
It's like how Hasbro just doesn't give proper paint apps or leaves big gaping holes in the figures. I've noticed going to the toy aisle that majority of the new toys are super tiny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then they're like, they look like crap. Like, I was looking at the new Flash movie toys because I was like, I kind of want a new Michael Keaton Batman. And then I was looking and I'm like, it's so tiny and it doesn't look very good. Like my 80s, 90s, original one that I had looked insanely better than this thing.
Yep. Wow.
It's just, I can't justify it. Like, so I don't pull the trigger on any of it, but it's just kind of annoying that we have to, like, I'm pretty stoked I got a 3D printer and I finally figured out how to use it.
The thing of the future, to be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so if I, buy the Funbee stuff or I, get some of the other files, I can print my own stuff and it'll be better quality than some of the Hasbro crap.
Absolutely.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Oh, me, such entertainment. Yes. But I suppose while they are distracted, I should attend to business.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom are...
TF2 and Mike.
And Lady Rack.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is episode 445, folks, and yes, we are staying alive. We are 55 away from 500 episodes of All Things Transformers.
Staying alive.
Yep. Yeah, I thought he was going to go there, and he didn't. So I'm glad I didn't say it first. I was like, I thought for sure he was going there, because usually he's the one that pulls in nostalgia, but my brain went there before.
Always. All right, so we've got three news articles tonight, only three, because most of this episode is going to be a discussion on the news we finally have been waiting for over a year now, or just over a year now. But first off, we're going to start with the Hasbro Pulse live stream from June 20th. They revealed a whole bunch of stuff. Going through the list here, Studio Series Deluxe Mirage 94 Porsche. So they got the Porsche license. Yay! Maybe now we can get a real Jazz figure.
Maybe. That would be cool. Yeah. I mean, Mirage is cool too.
Yeah. Well, they're working on the Deluxe Mirage 94 Porsche. They're working on the face to make it more screen accurate, because apparently when they first started making it, it wasn't screen accurate. I'm like, how can you not have a screen accurate face? He's in all of the trailers. Like, come on.
Yeah. They have all of the other detail stuff, right?
Probably not. I don't know. Leader Optimus Primal will be darker in final production to obviously fit with the film. He will come with the Transwarp Key and Prime's Axe. Okay.
Cool.
More Rise of the Beast next year. For Legacy, this I think is really cool, and I'm interested to hear what you all say. We're getting Core Class Prime with trailer and Bumblebee. This is a Pulse exclusive.
I guess I'll go first.
Whoever wants to take it.
Yeah. I kind of like the fact. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the Core Class figures just because they're smaller, and the amount of detail they're able to still kind of stick with them. It's funny they're still a head shorter than the original basic figures of the 90s.
Yeah.
But at least with this Prime, they painted his waist.
Yeah.
Unlike some previous renditions of him, and gave him a little bit of color in the head, and gave him the trailer.
Yep.
My son has the Kingdom Core Class Optimus Prime, and I don't know. I like
this.
Yeah. Well, especially because he's broke multiple parts of it, and I've had to do constructive repairs. And then, I mean, they have the Cybertronian mold Bumblebee. So I don't think they'll care about this per se, but like I like G1 characters enough for their core class. I don't know if I would use them enough to get like Voyager or Deluxes or things like that. Now a Voyager Optimus movie, you know, Studio Series 86 Optimus Prime, and they actually did some remolding, I probably would go for it because it's Prime. But I do like the fact he comes with his trailer, and then there's Bumblebee with him. Although the proportions between the two look really off.
Yeah, they do.
Because Prime looks like tall and narrow, and Bumblebee's like short and stocky.
Well, he's always been short and stocky.
I know, so but I mean, his head is bigger than Prime's.
Is it?
Oh, it is.
Wow.
It's you know, yeah. It looks weird.
You can't avoid that because he has really big cheeks.
But I do like the fact that Prime's trailer has a spot to hide all of his gear. Yep. Comes with roller. It's what you would expect out of him. And you can fit Bumblebee inside. So I guarantee my kids are going to want this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can store them, you know, and it just looks cool. I mean, it's reminiscent. Plus, he's got, you know, the shield. It's just so much of it's nostalgic, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So I really like this.
Amy?
I have to say this was actually the standout thing for me, too, when because I listened to the Pulse. I have never listened to any one of them, which is funny because I know that a couple of fans have been invited on Pulse a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I've reached out to them before they get on and say, hey, I'm so excited for you. I just never watch just because I just don't watch anything. I did it specifically for the show. And this was kind of the standout thing through the whole, like, oh, they had all these different things on there that were kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But if I was going to say, what are you tempted? This is tempting me to go out and buy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's the right size. It's got a trailer and the trailer opens up and it's just every piece is so usable. It's like, I'm really tempted with this. I know they said, oh, it's the core class. You know, it's something small and something fun that you can get your kids. And I'm like, hell, I'm getting that for me.
Yeah.
If I get it, I'm going to get it for me. That's $40 spent for me, not my kid.
That's right.
I'll have to fight them for it, though. I mean, you know, not a death battle fight, but, you know, close. Every single time I turn around and it's missing from my desk, I'll be like, okay, who took it?
Yep. I find this really interesting that they have done this because next year, as we all know, is 40 years of the brand. And 40 years ago, we started with Generation 1 Optimus. We eventually got MP01, which anyone who wants the Masterpiece Optimus Prime, go for MP04 if you still can, because that's the one with the trailer. But the fact that we went from original Generation 1 Optimus Prime to all the other Optimus Primes we've had over the years, Masterpiece, and now this. This is a tiny Optimus Prime that looks literally like the thing. Like, they did so good on this Optimus.
That is affirmative.
I just wish they'd use some, like, chrome.
It's not just the Optimus. Go ahead.
No, it's not just Optimus, but I'm just highlighting him now. You chrome what, Steve?
I was saying I just wish that he, you know, they would use some chrome instead of the gray, or they'd, you know, actually paint their mirrors instead of putting those crappy stickers on.
Yeah.
You're right, and I agree with you. The only problem is, you know, at some point, and Amy, this is probably the one you can get for your kids. You know, at some point, this is going to be repainted into dead Optimus Prime, right? That's why it's gray, the gray color it is, without being like the metallic looking silver that it usually is. And again, this is core class. This isn't really for us 40-year-old children. This is for the actual children.
You also know there's somebody out there that runs a sticker business that does something, you know, rub signs and stuff that'll probably be able to make, you know, little
they'll make it look good
stickers to put on there, because they're geeky fans too, and they're like, oh, I bet I could make this better.
Yep.
So,
and I love it'd be great. Yeah, I love the box art on it, too. It looks so cool. So fun. All right. So also, like I said, we've got the Mirage and the Optimus Primal, which will be better, which will be recolored for later to match the film more.
The only one I liked out of the film toys is this Primal.
Yeah. The rest of them are kind of meh.
I mean, they still look better than some of the Michael Bay stuff. They don't look as kibbly, but they still look pretty bad. Like, you would think that they would use some influx of color in any of them to make parts of their body stand out in robot mode instead of just... They look like blah and vehicle or beast, and then they look like blah when they come out.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the style, though, I guess.
I don't like their style. Which is why I've not bought a movie toy ever.
Yeah.
I have to say I agree.
They're shelf warming at all of my Walmarts, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're not moving at all.
In, what are we up to, 15, 16 years since the original film, I had bought one movie toy for one purpose only. I bought the Revenge of the Fallen Ravage only because his eye was purple. But yeah, I do not buy movie toys. As cool as the Optimus Primal looks, and I can't. It's just a no from me. The rest of the stuff they announced, like Bombshell, some more Insecticons, yay, I guess. Let's see what else is down here. The core class Dinobots that are coming next year or later this year, or whenever they're doing it. Anything else that piqued your interest? Okay,
not only is it core class Dinobots, but it's a combiner.
Oh yeah, it's going to turn into core class Volcanicus. Yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, that is so cool.
I have to say, that's the other thing that I went, oh, okay, that's the other tempting thing. Like, if they have all five of those things, and they said you could pick up the other two that you missed last year, I'm like, that looks kind of fun.
Yeah, so for under $60, you have a mini combiner.
Yeah. But again, you're right, it's small. It's not like, I remember back in the day when we had the other combiner that I ever wanted, that I was really tempted to get, but I never did, was the War for Cybertron, the High Moon game version. I loved those designs. I loved that design so much. I never got it. Kind of glad I did, but this is smaller, and I'm like, hey, I could set that up on my desk. And
that's right.
Take up the whole desk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then a lot of the other stuff they have for that Pulse live stream is just repaints with different heads.
Yeah.
And
it's...
I mean, here we are, you know, long time Transformers fans. Movie just came out. What did we focus on?
Focus on the old stuff.
The G1 looking ones. That's the ones we've been focusing on.
Well, I will say that I love what they did with the Inferno, with Antagony, with the Inferno repaint. It's black and purple. I'm not buying it. I don't want it. So nobody get it. not that I expect anyone to get this thing for me, but it looks so cool. And I love what they said about this was that when they initially designed Inferno, they put hidden tooling under part of him or something so it fits in with whatever this repaint was going to be at the time. But that was like last year when it first, you know, and all that. So yeah.
I think it's funny, though, some people I've seen complaining about them coming out with this Antagonite because mm-hmm. they worked so hard to get the convention exclusive. And then they're like, they came out and did this, you know, and I'm like.
But the convention exclusive was what, 97?
Something, yeah.
The original Antagony BotCon exclusive was like over 20 years ago.
Yeah,
goodness. So, it's like they're going to milk it any way they can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
And they should, because, I mean, the tooling has changed and a lot of it's gotten better.
That's the other thing about a lot of these toys that we're getting now, where we're getting so, like, I'm sure there are plenty of things people can point out that are wrong with the Leader Dragon Megatron. Hmm. But still, that Leader Dragon Megatron that we have now compared to what we had back in the 90s is so much better.
The face is ugly.
Okay. Yes, the face is ugly, but that's because it's not really his face. It's somebody else's. Yeah, it's Rid
Megatron.
Yeah,
but what's funny is the third-party company is doing a oversized knockoff of it,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving him his actual face, and it's going to be larger than that winged dragon.
Oh my God.
Which is funny to me because I was like, oh, if it's just a little bit bigger, like optimal size, it'd be kind of cool. But they're like, no, it's bigger than the winged dragon. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the ultimate Transmetal 2 Megatron. Like, you can't top that.
Yeah, no, you can't.
The other stuff that they had, I like the semi-truck Prime, the Volvo.
Yeah, the Pepsi repaint.
Yeah, the red repaint of the Christmas Prime.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the Christmas repaint, yep.
Yeah, I like the way that his character looks, the shininess, the head sculpt looks G1. I like where the wheel placement is on his back, just to kind of add something. I don't know, that one really stands out to me quite a bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Anything else on the toys?
Not for me.
No.
Amy? All right. Okay.
July 2023, the Pacific Northwest will be transformed. Don't miss CybeFest Northwest. Featuring special guest Paul Eiding, the voice of Perceptor. Panels hosted by Mike Seibert Radio Podcast. Robotics. Contests and trivia. Local artists and dealers. Exciting raffle prizes. A Transformers experience by the fans, for the fans. Get your own exclusive Generation Zero transforming action figure. This Cybertronian Festival features the Bumblebee Camaro inspired by the films. July 8th at Kent Commons Community Center. Immerse yourself in CybeFest Northwest. More at CybeFestNW.com. 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 CybeFestNW.com.
Hello there. I'm Paul Eiding. Now, some of you might know me from video games that I have voiced. Metal Gear Solid, Diablo, StarCraft, Warcraft, God of War, Fallout 3, Fallout 4, a whole bunch of video games. Now, or some of you might know me from Grandpa Max in Ben 10, or No Zone and Toxic Crusaders, or a bunch of other ones. Most importantly, I hope you know me from G1 Transformers. I am the voice of Perceptor. Now, folks at CybeFest Northwest, they know that, because I'm going to be joining everybody up there. Kent, Washington, July 8th. I'm looking forward to it. It's less than a month. 25 days, actually, but who's counting, huh? Listen, if you're in the area, I hope you can join us. I promise we'll have a good time. We'll be talking all things Transformers or all things whatever you want to talk about. So join us, all right? July 8th, SciFest Northwest. See you there. You can win!
Time to get to the comics, ladies and gentlemen, and it's been just under or just over a year since we heard that Hasbro had a new comic book partner, but they weren't yet ready to reveal it. Well, they've revealed it. Speculation abound and everything else, and I always threw out the joke in the last year. You know, it'd be really funny, although I'm pretty sure it's never going to happen. It would be strange and weird and ironic to see if Warner Brothers and DC got it, because Marvel had it in the 80s. And a lot of people speculated it would go back to Marvel. A lot of people speculated it would go to somewhere else. It is Skybound, which is an imprint of Image Comics. Now, that's the one thing I did not – I had heard of Skybound, and the one thing I knew about Skybound outside of their name was that it was the Walking Dead guy that kind of – you know, whatever runs or whatever does with that company. But I did not – I've been reading Image Comics books for years now. I read all kinds of titles from Image. So I was perfectly fine once I actually found out who the publisher was. Now, Amy, what was your first reaction?
I actually was happy with this, because this is the first – like, they teased that they had been talking with Skybound already initially, like from the get-go, and then nothing came out of it. But so hearing the announcement was like, okay, that's no surprise, because they teased that they had been in like contact with Skybound. They just never verified. And so they let, you know, they let fans spin, which we can spin. Let me tell you, we can spin that news, and it worked for a good year. Right.
Yep.
But yeah, this was not a surprise to me. I'm glad that they went with Skybound. Honestly, I don't want them to go back to Marvel. I don't want them to go back anywhere else. I'd rather have them go to a company that's going to treat them right.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to, you know, take them in a new direction and go get fun with it and maybe push some boundaries. I'm all right with that. But yeah, I was fine with this.
Yeah. Steve, initial thoughts?
So I'm fine with it for now, because I really don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah, there's that too.
I've seen them do, you know, through Marvel, I've seen through Dreamwave, I've seen IDW. It makes sense that they went to somebody different other than like DC and Marvel and trying out a whole new creative team. However, it's just another reboot.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everything. Yes, but everything isn't just another reboot.
I know, but the only one that's really getting a fresh reboot is G.I. Joe out of the deal.
Yeah.
Like how they're formed.
Yeah.
But technically it's still not, because Transformers and G.I. Joe tie back to the 80s when the G.I. Joe comic introduced Transformers and blew up Bumblebee.
So this is why I love having Amy on the podcast at times, because she'll tell me like 6 hours before we record, oh, by the way, I'm doing all kinds of research. Okay, good. You do all the research you want. Bring it. Let's go. So how many crossovers have there been?
I don't know how many crossovers. There's been a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot. All the way.
There's been about 12 or 13.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And different companies too. They've done it with Marvel. They've done it with Image. They've done it with Devil's Due. They've done it with IDW.
Yep.
So, there's just been a lot of it. I think the better stuff that's come out of them crossing over was an Image.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think yet. Because we really haven't seen anything. We don't know what the team is going to come up with. We don't know the story. We don't know. Well, we're very much in the dark. I mean, yeah, there's some story here, but there's not really.
So the solicitation, so just to let, and I'm sure by now, by the time I get this podcast online.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but.
No, I did not know that.
That Robert Kirkman, this came from EJ Sue. It was a Twitter thing that he put out.
Yeah.
A Twitter post in June of 2021. He said Robert Kirkman was going to write Transformers if DreamWave didn't get the license.
Oh, wow.
So these guys have been sitting in the wind, in the wings. Yep. They already have vied for Transformers.
Yep. Yeah.
And they didn't get it. But this time they did. So they did. Yeah. I don't know what that means. But I'd say if they were interested back then and they're still interested now, maybe something good is going to come out of this.
Yep. So they are starting the Energon universe. And so far we have three titles. We have Transformers number one, Duke number one, and Cobra Commander number one. Creative team on Transformers is Daniel Warren Johnson. He's doing both the writing and the art on that. For Duke number one, the new Energon universe expands in December with Duke number one. So Duke, the only reason why I'm saying this now as part of the solicitation is because Duke is a limited series. So it's not going to be a full ongoing like I believe Transformers and Cobra Commander will be. So Duke and Cobra Commander are both being written by DC scribe Joshua Williamson. Tom Riley is on the art for Duke, and Andrea Milana is on the art for Cobra Commander number one. For Transformers, it begins an all new era for the iconic robots in disguise from superstar creator Daniel Warren Johnson. Extremity, do a power bomb, DC's Wonder Woman, Dead Earth, and colorist Mike Spicer, Stillwater. Optimus Prime was supposed to have led the Autobots to victory. Instead, the fate of Cybertron is unknown, and his allies have crash-landed far from home alongside their enemies, the Decepticons. Wow, this reads like crap, TFW 2005. Holy crap.
I don't expect much.
Yeah, well, as these titanic forces renew their war on Earth, the one thing is immediately clear. The planet will never be the same. New alliances are struck, battle lines are redrawn, and humanity's only hope of survival is Optimus Prime. This comes out October 4th, 2023, for a $4.99 cover price. Final orders due September 10th. For Duke number one, new Energon universe expands in December with Duke number one, limited series from Joshua Williamson, et cetera, and Jordi Belair on art that tells the story you've never read before, the origins of G.I. Joe and Cobra in a world grappling with the arrival of the Autobots and Decepticons. When Conrad S. Hauser, codenamed Duke, investigates the mysteries behind the Transformers, the answers will lead to the birth of forces for good and evil that the world never imagined. Duke will be the first of four G.I. Joe limited series coming from Skybound, setting the stage for a fresh new take on G.I. Joe, Cobra, and the iconic characters that you only think you know. Okay, so this is the first of four limited series. I like that they're taking baby steps. I think that's great. I think not everyone should immediately start in on, oh my God, we're going to have a 57 issue run with a bunch of annuals and whatever else, or what, you know what I mean? Like, start it off small and let your readers, let new readers and us old hats, you know, kind of dig in. Duke number one, December 27th in shops. Final order date is December 3rd. It will be $3.99 cover price. Cobra Commander number one. Now this one is out of the three of them, Transformers and Cobra Commander are the two that I am most interested in. I will obviously still get Duke, but Cobra Commander number one launches in January 2024 from Joshua Williamson, Andrea Melania. In a world where Cobra doesn't exist, one man's sinister plans to utilize the mysterious alien substance known as Energon will send shockwaves across the globe. Okay, so if Cobra doesn't exist, I assume We're going to get some sort of Cobra Commander origin, and then maybe Shockwave will come in? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Mm. Cobra Commander number one will be in shops January 17th, 2024. Final orders due December 24th, 2023. $3.99 is the cover price on this one. So Transformers is the most expensive book out of the three of these, which is fine, since it's supposed to be an ongoing and...
Is comics it supposed to be an ongoing? I mean, it doesn't really say that here.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm assuming. It's going to be an ongoing because it doesn't specifically say. Like, if they are leading to, because I know also part of the Skybound thing, getting the G.I. Joe license, just like with what IDW did when Dreamwave went bankrupt and lost the license, IDW picked up the Larry Hama G.I. Joe Real American Hero as it went through. So right now, when IDW lost the license, they were at G.I. Joe Real American Hero 300. So they, Skybound, are going to continue. So you're still getting a separate full-on series of G.I. Joe with Larry Hama that is separate from this. But as far as these go, I want to assume that Transformers is the ongoing and that these two... two of four miniseries are setting up everything else, and then maybe we'll get a core G.I. Joe title later. Again, small step with G.I. Joe specifically, small steps. And that Transformers solicit, it's essentially 1984 all over again, really. I mean, the only difference is that they're combining G.I. Joe and Transformers into one thing. Take it away.
I'm a little skeptical. Let's just say that. And maybe I wouldn't be as skeptical if I wanted to see these two cross over, and I didn't know that the movieverse is also doing that.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I want to be surprised by something, and I kind of wasn't surprised by this. I was just like, and I guess with all of the crossovers, a lot of it's been hit or miss.
Right.
And there's only a few that have actually really done some pretty interesting things that, and to be fair, it was a very niche-y thing. Transformers versus G.I. Joe by Tom Scioli. Mm-hmm. Was probably the biggest hit of any Transformers G.I. Joe crossover that ever existed, that has 100%. Ever been published in comics. Yep. The other one I'd say, I did really like the ROM crossover. I wanted to see more of that out of the whole Revolution thing that IDW did back in the day. What was it, 2020? I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah.
I did look at the date. I just... don't remember. It's not it's right okay. in front of me. Give me a second and I'll probably figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, I think because it's a new company, they're starting kind of where most people, specifically to the Transformers, most everybody knows War on Cybertron, Flea Tour. Most everybody knows that. And honestly, that's perfectly fine. We've had many stories over the last 17 to 20 years of them showing the War on Cybertron.
It was 2017. Sorry, go ahead.
There you go.
Yeah, it was 2017 when they had the big crossover. And then I have a guarded kind of reaction to this, because back then they said, it's all a shared continuity. So we've been running for a good decade before suddenly now we all live in the same universe together. And it was more like this is going to happen. But you know what? How fans took it. It was like, I'm not really into G.I. Joe. I don't really want to. I mean, the fans that I knew, the people that I knew that I was podcasting with, a lot of people just weren't reading it. They weren't reading G.I. Joe to begin with. It was something that they were like, this is, you know, really, I don't want to have to read all of this if I don't have to. And a lot of people didn't. It's like, I never picked up that.
And I think the thing with this is they're starting out, again, like I said, with G.I. Joe specifically and it being the Energon universe, they're starting out small with G.I. Joe. They're going, and I could be completely wrong about this, but they are going all hog in on the whole standard story of Cybertronians flee Cybertron, come to Earth, change Earth, blah, blah, blah. Hey, as long as they don't make Unicron the center of the Earth, I'll be fine.
That's true. It could get worse. They could make that, right?
But, yeah, Steve, any other thoughts for the comics?
I'm just hoping that they do something original once they get it and not just continue to retread what we've seen in past companies that have taken the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had too many years, and it feels like we're just retreading constantly anyway, because they're constantly, oh, we need to reboot. Oh, we need to
start the war again.
Yeah. We need to start the war again. We need to combine this. We need to do. And it's like, dude, just pick something and stick with it.
I think because this is a new company, it's a new start, even though it's, you know, kind of old hat for us, it's also new hat for a lot of people that have not read both, like you said, Amy. Yeah. Nobody really cared about reading G.I. Joe in their Transformers because IDW didn't start G.I. Joe. Like, that's what I like about this, and what I'm kind of cautiously optimistic about this, is they're telling us from the outset, this is the Energon universe, you're going to have various crossovers and things happen. So they're basically telling us from the jump that this is a shared universe. And Daniel Warren Johnson, from everything I've heard of the guy, he's a great artist. He's an amazing writer. At some point, Ryan and I over on the pull bag will do a power bomb and maybe Oblivion Song. I don't know. I've heard a lot of good things about both of those. And I know Ryan is excited about do a power bomb. So we'll probably do that over on the pull bag.
Everything that I've seen, even on social media, is people that have been that know Daniel Warren Johnson are like super stoked.
Yeah,
which makes me go, oh. And I've seen some of the images and stuff that he's done, and I'm like, going, guy looks legit. It looks
He's got awesome. Great art.
And I'm crossing my fingers that we don't have a Heart of Darkness situation here, though.
Let's not go there.
Everybody was super excited about that, too. And I'm like, I'm cautiously optimistic.
That's my, until I actually have it in hand.
Yeah,
and until read you really, it myself. Yeah.
There's just no way to tell one way or the other. I hope that whatever crossover they do, it can be like contained on its own, and that people aren't going to have to like, hey, while you're reading Transformers, more of the story is going on over in G.I. Joe. I'm like, I really hope that they don't do that. I hope they're like, hey, we cross over once in a while, but you know, they kind of go off and do their own thing and there's different conflicts. And I hope it's not all contained in like, no, G.I. Joe and Transformers are like married and they're together forever.
Like, and Justice League and all the Batman, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see that. Because I think you will alienate all your Transformers fans
and that have
already been. Yeah, and G.I. Joe, because they'll be like, hey, why do we have these Transformers here? And, you know, the Transformers fans will be like, why do we have all these humans here?
But really, can we really say that going in knowing, like, this isn't them springing up. Like, this isn't a comic book company saying, oh, yes, we have the Transformers and the G.I. Joe licenses. We're going to do comic books for each of them. And then a year later, oh, by the way, boom, they're mad. Like, they're not doing that. They're telling us up front.
Yeah, and
that
I'm glad.
And again, the thing with the G.I. Joe stuff, 4 miniseries. So I assume, even though it doesn't say on the Cobra Commander information, I assume Cobra Commander is going to be a miniseries, Duke is a miniseries, and they're going to have 2 other G.I. Joe miniseries. So like I said earlier, those 4 miniseries could lead into a new ongoing later down the line in 2024, whereas hopefully, what I assume, the Transformers number 1 is starting a new ongoing for the Transformers. What I will say is, before we cut to Ryan and his thoughts, we'll cut to Ryan and his thoughts in a moment, which are good. It's a good thing. I like the way that they are introducing the Transformers other than doing the number 1. So Jesse, a.k.a. Matrix Prime, and I reviewed Void Rivals, which is their new whatever. I don't know if it's a miniseries or an ongoing or whatever. But in that number one, we have a guest appearance from Jetfire. So basically, Void Rivals is, I think Jesse pointed it out, or Ryan, somebody pointed it out to me. Basically, it's two, what we assume are robots, stranded on this planet, and they are both adversaries. They aren't Autobots. They aren't Decepticons. They are like humanoid robots. By the end of the... And I'm spoiling the hell out of this because I know neither one of y'all are going to read this, and that's fine.
Yeah, I
know.
I thought about it.
Steve probably won't.
I've got a love-hate relationship right now. I'm trying to figure out what to do about comics because I know I have a couple months until, you know, the Transformers 1 comes out. But I formerly... Digital was my thing, and now I'm not so digital anymore because Comixology is giving me bad vibes.
Yeah,
Amazon's killed it, but
yeah, they have. So Void Rivals number one, it sets up a whole new thing because it's these two characters that we don't know. They're on this planet that we don't know, and then all of a sudden Jetfire pops up because they find him, and he transforms. And he says it's been millions of years. And the interesting thing for me is that Jetfire does not have a faction symbol on him.
Gotcha.
From the cartoon and from the comics and from where, specifically from when he started in the cartoon, he had a Decepticon symbol on him. Then he had an Autobot symbol because he couldn't decide which one he wanted to be. And he finally decided, and he decided to go with the... But this Jetfire did not have a faction symbol. So I'm interested, and I like to kind of like, oh, they're kind of teasing us with seeing Jetfire at the end of this new comic book thing. And then, like you said, and like we've said, we're going to get the new ongoing in October.
Gotcha.
We are going to go to Ryan, the Uneven Flow. He's going to give our thoughts. We'll come back and most likely close the show out unless we have anything else we want to talk about right after this.
Hello, kids. As a man of the people, and that is, of course, what I am, a man of the people, I want to give my thoughts on the news of Skybound acquiring the rights to Transformers. Skybound, owned by Robert Kirkman, or sort of an imprint of Image run by Robert Kirkman. The Transformer series going to be written by Daniel Warren Johnson. More on him in a second. First, I want to preface it by saying I'm going to pick this up. It is not a matter of I'm not going to try it or I'm close-minded to it or anything else. What I will say is I attended a smaller con on the weekend and I overheard two people at a Transformers booth talking about how the IDW 1.0 universe in a lot of ways encompassed sort of the best of Transformers. And it's something we've talked about on the pull bag an awful lot, including a 3-hour podcast on what we enjoyed from the IDW 1.0 universe. Hello, Amy. Hello to Jen. Amy, I miss you. Have Mike give you my email address. Tell Jen I miss her too. Anywho, man, having to leave Twitter. Yo, dog, all my peeps. So people were discussing it at the booth. And yeah, I feel the same way as they did, that in a lot of ways, the 1.0 universe was sort of the end of Transformer comics for me. At least for a period of time, we will see. This is a new company with a completely new direction. I'm hoping it doesn't end up being a retread of previous storylines or things we've already seen. I hate to say it, but I feel like we got spoiled by the IDW post-war stuff in terms of the war. We've seen it so many times in different Transformers media and almost every story, every universe. And I feel like we got to know the characters a little bit more and a whole lot differently than ever before after they were removed from that aspect of the universe or from that one event. So, sort of semi in conclusion, I guess, I'm tentatively interested in it. I don't know if it's going to be quote unquote my Transformers. Again, you kind of have to do something different at this point. And just to be blunt here, too, I think in terms of the series, it's probably not going to be as progressive as a lot of the IDW stuff is and was. So that's, frankly, going to be another kind of knock against it. if it can't do anything new and it can't advance it in either aspect, I'm not sure it's going to be for me. I'm hoping that I'm totally wrong, but some of the pre sort of interviews and that kind of thing and the reverence they have for the Generation One cartoons, Saturday Morning, et cetera, et cetera, I don't know. Doesn't have leave me feeling great about it. What does leave me feeling great about it, Daniel Warren Johnson is an excellent writer and artist. He's not more than one person. I have greatly enjoyed his work on Duo Powerbomb in particular. Hopefully, Mike, you and I will discuss that at some point. I enjoyed it a lot. His Beta Ray Bill run was really good as well, too. So, yeah, I have pretty high hopes for him. I have fairly high hopes, I think, overall for the series. But I also, like, really feel the kind of wait-and-see attitude at this point. So, yeah, that, I believe, is all I have to say about it. Good luck to Skybound, though. I hope it does well, and I hope people enjoy it.
And we're back. Steve, do you have anything else? Do we have anything else we want to talk about? Any toys you've picked up this week or anything like that? Same for you, Amy.
I haven't picked any toys up. I did get a 3D printer, however.
There you go. He can print his own toys, folks.
Yes. I discovered that PLA plastic is a little brittle. Like, it's hard, but it's brittle. Like, if you're trying to bend it into something. Because I printed a adapter for my G2 Megatron so I can put his cannon on his shoulder. And I ended up having to scrape it a little bit deeper because it broke. I did print leg extenders for Rhinox. To make him, like, scale with Masterpiece, basically.
Oh, wow.
I've seen him. Like, basically, I hoarded all of the free stuff that I found right off the bat. And then, like, there's a IDW 3D printed Megatron, like, from the comics that somebody made.
Yeah, from the Josh Bertram designs.
Yeah, that's cool. I am fully intending on printing that at some point.
I'm sure you are.
I am. Well, now that I fixed my printer issue that I was having, because I tried printing it and then I realized that I didn't have the Z-axis set up and I needed an add-on to make it work properly because whatever the kit was that it comes with just wasn't working. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this because I was watching enough videos and they kind of said, you know, if you're going to be doing a lot of printing and you want a smoother print and you want to not have to mess with this thing as much, get this part and it will take care of your problem. And it did. So, I'm planning on printing that at some point. I'm planning on printing some like Star Trek ships. And, I've already test printed, a comm badge and, so I'm going to eventually buy from Funbee Studios. And I'm going to print a stasis pod.
Nice. Yeah, they were the ones that did the 3D. Yes.
They make all that. The Beast Wars and the 3D printed. And so eventually I'm going to get all of the little gap fillers and at least for some of them, I'm going to print the stasis pod. I'm going to try scaling it down smaller so my kid can put his core class figures in it and not have them swimming in it. And I really want to print Megatron's chair so I can have my masterpiece sit in it.
Nice.
Oh, boy. What about you, Amy? What have you been doing with Transformers lately?
As a compliment to what he just said, I misplaced a box of BotBots recently and found it. So I opened up and I bought this specifically because it had Quackles in it, which is a rubber duck. So.
Exactly, Megatron. Exactly.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what I've been kind of playing with. But I have a few things kind of I'm waiting on a few things that are supposed to come through at some point. Don't know when, but I don't have a lot of figures. But when I find something I really, really like and I can't get out of my head, I do go out and buy it. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. As for me, I haven't gotten anything this month that's Transformers related. I refuse to buy the Funko Pop Rise of the Beast figures because they're ugly. All the movie Funko Pops are ugly.
Yep.
I don't mind buying the regular Funko Pops for anything else, and including the Retro Toys Transformers, but those... no. Can't do it. Can't do it. Just no.
The other Transformer thing I did this week was I took my kids to see Rise of the Beast. So yay. That was my second viewing of the movie. And yeah, good times. Good times.
Very cool, very cool. I'm waiting for digital. Digital should be here soon, I think.
Yep.
Because Fast X is already on digital, and that movie came out, what, earlier this month or the end of last month, or I forget when it came out. So if Fast X is already on, like, Fandango at Home digital on Vudu, then Rise of the Beast isn't far behind.
Nope.
Anything else?
Well, the last thing I will say is, and I know I've kind of already said it, and I don't know if we're spoiling. I didn't ask before we started. I probably should have.
Steve's seen it, so I don't care.
So, like, I guess in a sense, just because these two news reports kind of came out very quickly, the movie came out, the Rise of the Beast movie came out, and then Skybound had their news. I kind of feel like the movie is kind of stealing a little bit of their thunder, because it's like... The surprise is kind of, and I know it's not like, hey, you know, I'm sure it wasn't planned, but just that's how the cards fall, because two things that don't even have anything to do anything either, but yet they're both kind of connected in a different way. And so it's just like, I just really feel like that's kind of stealing a little of the thunder, but also
I don't, because...
Because everything Transformers on the next year is going to be tied together with G.I. Joe, well, and I just don't know if that's a good move.
Well, again, it's a wait-and-see kind of caution. I'm surprised Rise of the Beast has not broken a billion yet. That's what I'm
not. A lot of movies right now are not doing very well.
I'm not. It's still COVID. The lockdowns are still having a huge, like, I know we're not locked down anymore, but it's still having a huge effect on the industry because people got out of the habit, and I think it was they're doing other things or they're waiting for it to come to streaming because, oh, I don't have to go to a theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single time I've gone to a movie theater, it's, you know, it's not full. It's not packed. I can tell you that. I think people are, you know, streaming, like, it has, being forced to be at home has caused a lot of people to
reevaluate
and change their habits. And that is still continuing to have an effect. And I think it's doing good for what it's presenting. And the fact that it's actually doing, like, you know, it's actually doing really well compared to other movies that have been out this year. So I'm like, okay, that's a good thing. Does it mean that everybody's running back? Because, like, if they run back to see one movie, maybe this is it. I don't know. I haven't checked to see in the last week if Transformers is still on the top one for this week, or is another one. Did Elemental come in with theirs, or, you know, The Flash? If The Flash kicked it off of its pedestal, I don't know. I haven't checked to see.
I heard that didn't do very well either, and they're losing mega money on that one.
Yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many variables, like, you know, with success or not success, and that's why I'm kind of like, I'm really cautious. The good thing that I have heard is that it seems like Stephen Cable is the one that's like, hey, I've got some great ideas, and he seems to be the drive behind this, and he kind of has some ideas. And so I'm like, okay, I like passion, so that makes me feel a little less worried. But I also know that sometimes you know, when you have to, like I said, look at the evaluation of all of the stuff that's been out there. And like I said, the one that really seemed to hit home, that did the best, that had the best like reaction, was the Transformers versus G.I. Joe, which was very niche. And it was from somebody, again, who had a lot of passion. Tom Scioli, when he went and did that, like, he was like, it was his passion. Like, he was the one that came up with the ideas. He's the one that came to IDW and said, hey, I've got this great idea. And of course, Barbara was just waiting for the right guy to come up and say, hey, we need to, mm-hmm. you know, it was part of his vision to see Transformers be more legitimate. I don't know if that has stayed, though. And so there's so many topics to talk about with this. It's just such a hot thing with me, because I'm like, oh, there's so many things. I mean, I wonder sometimes, like, okay, does Skybound, are they on that vision? Because I know Barbara was, and there's nothing out yet. And I'm like, I would really like to talk to somebody. I'd really like to, if I was podcasting right now, I'd be like, I want to really ask some of these questions and, you know, say, hey, I want to interview for you for this, because I would love to help build this up a bit. I'd like to be excited about it. And it's just, wow, there's just, if I, you know, I'd like to ask questions. So maybe I should just reach out to the writer and just say, hey, how passionate are you about this? And what can you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can always put it on this show. And the thing about the movie news and the comic news,
I know they're separate, but yeah, they're still... You know,
they are tied together because, people. Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. But I just think that, like, I know, because for me, I only will watch, like, I don't watch the 30-second, 15-second, unless it's a Super Bowl spot, I will not watch TV spots. I want to see a teaser trailer, a full, like, theatrical trailer, number one, and then maybe a final trailer. That's it. Yeah. That's for any movie, not just Transformers, but for any, like, that's all I really want to see, because I want to be able to see the movie without seeing every scene in clip form.
Yeah.
And so for me, the movie news has been exciting. But the comic news has been more exciting, even though I'm cautiously optimistic. It's been more exciting because we finally now, like, we've known about Rise of the Beasts for, like, what, a year and a half or longer? Yeah. Like, the movie news
is nothing for comics. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's the point. The movie news is always in the news. Like, that's not any, it's not anything new. The comic news, however, is like, oh my God. Pay attention. Look at me. Pay attention. Let's go. It's time to pay attention to Transformers comics again. And like Ryan said, he's going to pick this up. And I'm going to pick it up, too, because I'm curious to see what it is. Now, whether I stick with it or not is a completely different story, because I completely fell off IDW's 2019 continuity. Once you bring Unicron in and try to destroy the universe, there really is no going back. I know they still had the license for a couple of years after that, but Steve and I made it to Volume 3, which I think was issues like 12 to 18 or something in Volume 3. I forget what it is. But like, we made it to the third volume of the 2019 continuity, and I was like, I really don't want to go back to this because I didn't like it in the first. It was just too weird.
And I haven't read all of it yet. I only got through the first volume before I like, oh, kids keep interrupting me. I can't sit down and read this. So never fails. Like the minute I try to like, okay, I'm going to get back into this and read for an hour.
Uh-huh.
Like, nope.
Every 15 minutes in that hour.
Chaos just hits every single time. So it's like, I am getting set up. I'm getting set up. I like what they started, but I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I should do it right now while I have a kid down. So
there you go.
Oh, goodness.
All right. I don't know when the next ATTF is going to be. Probably a couple of weeks, folks, because the news is just kind of the movie's out. The comics are coming.
Yes. I know it's exciting. I'm it's good to be excited, I guess, again for like. But I have reservations. I have so many reservations.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, no. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no.
Because we haven't And like, and this, what Ryan said, where he's like, you know, hey, the best that we have ever gotten with was the IDW run with Barber and Roberts. And he's not wrong. Those fans are not wrong. That's what they have to contend with. That's yeah. the amount of those are the fans. Like, and I know a lot of G1 fans are like, oh, so they went woke. And I'm like, shut up.
They did. Oh, God. It's not even.
Shut up.
It's either you like the story or you don't.
Yeah. But, you know, they did a lot of new stuff that was really kind of, it brought people in. Whether or not you want to agree with that or not, it brought a lot of fans in. And those are the fans that you need to keep. Because let's be honest here, my generation of Transformer fan, we're going to be hitting our 50s. We are not going to be around. Like, we're going to start dropping like flies. Sorry. That's a fact. It's going to happen.
And we're going to start dropping like Insecticon clones. Yeah.
We might have the money, but the longevity is what comics needs. So they need to bring in the younger fans.
And hence why,
as much as I think it's great, and I've heard some rumors too, and I can't say where my sources are, I think they're going to play more toward the G1 fan. I think that's great, but you got to think long term. It's not like, oh, great, we get to write and do Transformer comics. Well, 2 years from now, you're still going to have that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you better make an opening to bring in new fans or fans that are fans of other parts of what Transformers has to offer. Because if you don't have a plan, you're just looking at another reboot. And to be fair, that's, you're going to get a lot of people drop off at that point, right? Because that's what happened with the last one. Mm-hmm. And I'm past behavior always predicts future behavior. If you see what's been done before and you see where it's going, you got to be careful about that. I hope that they keep that in mind, that reboot is not a reset. You will lose out on some of that. Yeah. It's not a bad word, but it also, I mean, because that's basically what the movies are doing. They wouldn't say it, and I wish that they had. I want to punch the person in the face that keeps saying, this is not a reboot. This is not a reboot. I was like, it's a freaking reboot. Give me a break. We're two movies in. Just say the damn word.
I mean, they basically built up Bumblebee like a prequel to the 2007 movie. So, yes, Rise of the Beasts is the
first. Don't even go there. Yeah, no.
It is.
No.
It is. Hello.
Bumblebee was the reboot because nothing, there's plenty of, I think there's a few things in Bumblebee that do contradict the first two trilogies before it. But Rise of the Beast does nothing to contradict Bumblebee at all. It's its own continuity.
Who knows? As far as the comics go,
that's a whole other podcast. Yeah, so we can go off on a tangent on right.
Yup.
The thing with the comics is what I, you know, and again, they can have their ongoing with what this Transformers new number one and all of that, like they're doing with these G.I. Joe miniseries. Maybe in the future we'll get Transformers miniseries. Like,
maybe.
You know, we only got 17 issues of IDW Beast Wars. Not saying that's going to come back under Skybound, but Skybound could do something else with the old Beast Wars cast. They could do something with, like,
it was well received, right?
Yeah, it was.
I liked the Beast Wars comic.
Yeah. Honestly, I hadn't given it a chance yet because, again, I have a love-hate relationship with comics right now. I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I've been just really getting trades on Amazon.
Yeah, so. We'll just point you in the right direction for the ones that you should be reading, not the ones that you shouldn't be reading. All right, Steve, you want to close us out?
So, thank you, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron. And again, you can find out my Twitter at SCP-21 and the show All Things TFB3. And Mike?
I'm at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates.
And Amy?
I'm Lady Rec. Find me on Twitter at Lady of Rec.
And you can, of course, interact with us on not only Twitter, but on this episode's post on Facebook and GeekcastRadio.com. So until next time, transform and transcend.
Excellent. Yes. Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.